Baby Witches, it's Tara. So in the editing of this episode, my audio for some reason was so quiet, like almost entirely unlistenable. And so we tried to fix it. This is not normal. This doesn't usually happen. But just to let you guys know that my side of the audio is a little tough, but Alicia's is crystal clear. So just like live in the heavenly embrace of her gorgeous voice. Okay, bye. Welcome to Witch Yes, a podcast for casual conjurings, witches in training, and your Uber driver, who really wishes you fucking wouldn't.
I'm Alicia Herder. Beep, beep.
I'm Alicia, too. No, I'm not. I did that last time.
You did that last time. You love being me.
I want to be you. But no, I'm Tara. Stop! No, wait. I'm Tara. That's the before you get in the car accident.
Wait, what was that noise?
It's the tire screeching.
Oh, it sounded like, I don't know, like a fire ambulance. Oh, a fire. Wait, those are two different. Mm-hmm. I feel like my brain is busting. Those are two different vehicles.
You know, I get the vehicles mixed up too. Car, truck, sedan, four-door, two-door.
You know what? There should be a fire ambulance.
An ambulance that specializes in burns.
Yeah. On today's episode, it's Witches in the News.
It is not. Is it really?
It is the long-awaited, forgotten relic of Witch Yes.
The fucking megalith dug up from the earth. A modern-day Stonehenge.
We love it. We live it. It brings the energy up. It brings the energy down. It's a roller coaster of a time.
And we go.
All the way home.
That's me. I had my hands up. Like I'm on a roller coaster. Baby, how are you?
I'm good. I voted, as is my duty, as an American citizen. Thank you. Thank you. Did you vote in the primary elections?
New York doesn't have a primary election yet.
Oh. When is yours?
We're late.
Oh. Well, will you be voting, I guess is the question.
Yes. So I have, allegedly, within the next week, I'll be getting my new New York driver's license with my ability to vote attached to it.
I hope that your picture is as sexy as my picture was from the Santa Monica DMV.
I was repositioned several times by the man that took my picture, so I better be good.
I know. There needs to be, like, headshot photographers. Like, really get our best angles. Because if we get pulled over, we want the cops to see our best angle on the ID.
Yeah, it just feels like a good first impression.
Yeah. Because when he pulls me over, it's probably not going to be a good first impression.
You're a pretty safe driver, though.
And I figured out a lot of my, like, childhood trauma that made me so angry when I used to drive. Like, I follow the speed limit now. I'm like, why are you all racing around me?
We're all getting to the same place. Court.
I was like, my anger. We've diffused that. Everyone else's anger? I don't know.
So they're pulling you over because you're a drug mule. That's what you're saying.
Probably. They're probably being like, hey, bitch, your taillight's out. And I'm like, meow. Hello, officer. No, I pull my police moves on them.
What's your moves?
Well, two police officers, we were doing like an illegal shoot at a park. Illegal in quotes, like, you know, it just wasn't permitted. And two officers came and they were bald. And I was like, oh my God, are you guys brothers? I'm very charming. The police love me. But ACAB, I don't like the police. But I know how to twist some words and like do some last minute glamours. Bat those eyelashes. And they're obsessed. And they leave me alone.
That is an amazing superpower to have. Which is taking someone that's like totally in a position of power, but has like moral blind spots like police officers do. That you can just, it takes a special person to be able to pick out those avenues through which you can just surgically remove any aggression out of the situation and insert weird boner energy that they must have.
Everyone's just running around with a boner. You just need to capitalize on that. Why do they say sex sells? It's because these dicks are hard out here.
I mean, words of wisdom.
I know. I try. How are you doing, though?
I'm good. I'm great. I'm gonna be fine.
Okay. Work.
Yeah, I'm good. I am, for the witches that don't know, I started a super secret postcard club, and I sent out my first round of postcards on the 1st of March, and people have just started to get them. And it's like very cute because everyone's like really excited. I wrote like little notes on the insides of all the envelopes. Like,
that's cute.
Like, stuff like that. And then like a couple of them were like, I knew them personally, like drew pictures of like their pets and stuff. And so that was, people have started to get them. The people in France, I don't know when they're going to get those.
They're going to have to wait.
And I felt kind of silly because I went to the post office. I thought it was going to be a traumatic experience. It was pretty mid, except for a man in a wheelchair that I saw got yelled at. But all of the stamps that this woman gave me are like so overtly patriotic that it feels weird to be sending them to like Brazil.
Yeah.
And they're like big American flag underneath it. It says freedom. And then to go to a foreign country, you have to put multiple stamps. So it's just like freedom.
Love that.
And I'm like, I want you guys to know that I'm not this patriotic. I'm a normal amount. I'm mostly in the realm of voting and being into the Oscars. That's the amount that I care about my country.
I do some like stamp psychology whenever I send something out. I look at all my stamps and I'm like, what vibes with you best? And then for anyone who is a conservative family member, I'm like, you can take the American flag stamp. I know you'll appreciate this. And honestly, I just want to get rid of it because I just want the whale stamps.
You have whale stamps?
Oh, yeah. They have cute little oceanography stamps. There was some of otters. They're like holding hands, whales, fish. It's sea lions. It's very cute. And then I have space ones.
Are you ordering them online?
From the USPS.com.
Okay. Yeah. So I did not feel comfortable asking anything of the woman that was giving me stamps at the
I don't know if you get to choose when you go there.
Yeah, I mean, I have been to the one that's in Park Slope. While it does look like a prison, a woman has showed me a booklet before when I've like purchased stamps there.
Okay,
but this, like, when I say that places are portals, this place had demonic presence within it. It was deeply satanic. And as I entered, I felt my flesh fall and like my soul come out of my body and be shown to whatever like 1,000-year-old demon was living inside that place to be like, are you hungry, master? Do you seek flesh?
Oh, no.
I was fully like, I don't make eye contact. Yeah. Oh, it was so scary.
I'm sorry. That is kind of every post office is that way.
Was it like that in Indiana?
No, they were nice.
I felt like they were nice.
They were nice. But anywhere else you go, they're very mean. They don't like their jobs. They don't like what they're doing.
Anyway, it was really cute to see all the pictures of people sending me their postcard. It was really sweet. And that was just really charming. So I wanted to share that with you, that like something that I sort of like conceptualized late last year, like finally came to fruition. And I have even more like Patreon members now that are like, hey, can I just like Venmo you $5 for last month? I know I signed up late. Like, it's very sweet. Everyone's been nice. Like, oh, I'm just like so excited. Whatever you send me, I'm going to be so excited. And I was like, I've never felt more supported in my life.
That's amazing. And yeah, you guys can head over to Tara's Instagram and get hooked up on her super secret postcard club. Get some of that Tara Keck fine art for your own home.
And speaking of our Patreon, I want to give a big Welch's grapeshoots welcome.
A Welchy.
I want to give you a squelchy. And speaking of Patreon, I want to give a big witchy welcome to our latest Patreon witches, Amelia and Alicia.
What? Me?
A tween.
A twin. What a beautiful name, though. It's something about, okay, Amelia, you got this too. It's something about the two A's.
Mm-hmm,
Alicia,
mm-hmm.
Amelia.
End.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a poem.
I love it.
It's like a spell. We hope you enjoy the hours and hours of extra content that we made special for you. If you want to join Amelia and Alicia and the other Patreon witches in their quest to keep us from not quitting the podcast, you can find that link in the episode you're listening to right now. For $5 a month, you get access to over 100 extra episodes and have your listener questions read live on the air in every full-length episode.
Love it. The power and the knowledge. And last week, our episode was about everything you need to know about the upcoming spring equinox. And next week's episode is about the intergalactic psychic artist employed by the FBI, one man named Ingo Swann, which is a kind of baller name.
It's so good.
I love him. He's crazy.
And I was able to take some of his interviews off the internet and put them as sound bites into our episode. So you'll get a sense of like what he sounds like and what kind of person he is whenever he's being interviewed.
I love that.
And before we get into our episode, I want baby witches, I want you to know, as of yesterday, spring is here. She has arrived.
Finally.
So if you're looking for some new drip, you should check out our merch store at TeePublic. Get yourself a pagan as fuck or Satan's little snack t-shirt. And once again, give me, your favorite witch, a third of $7.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to nickel and dime you straight
going to the bank. Send that shit to the bank. Okay. And without further ado, we're going to talk about the witches in the news from January 2024. To March 2024.
So there's been a lot of news. Things have been happening.
Things have been popping off.
And even like doing this episode, it was a little bit of like, we had to snip some stuff. We had to pull some stuff. So it's including, but not limited to, the following. Which is, at the top of the show, a Swedish mystic finally gets her day in the sun.
Oh, like literally? Like, the Swedes are very pale.
They are very, yeah, they're so, and she was as well. Well, she's dead, so she should stay in the ground. Away from the sun.
Yeah. Ooh, get smelly.
If you've ever taken an introduction to art history class, you might have heard that the father of abstract art was the Russian painter Wassily Kandinsky. Have you heard of him?
I have. How could you forget the Wassel and the Tossel?
How could you? And the Insky and the Kandinsky. Born in 1866 in Moscow, Russia, the story of how Kandinsky, quote, invented abstraction is generally told as follows. So, story time.
Mm-hmm.
Kandinsky has years of art school training where he falls lovingly into the arms of Fauvism and Pointillism. And if you've ever seen, like, the really colorful works of Matisse, that's Fauvism, where representational color is so, like, last Tuesday, we don't even know her. It's all about wild color and dynamic brushwork that creates an understandable image. So there's the really famous Matisse painting of like the woman with, she's got the giant hat and her face mm-hmm. is like mostly green.
It very much reminds me of someone who's on the Titanic.
She does look haunted.
Yeah. She does look dead at sea.
Yes, yes. I think it has a lot to do with like color theory when I think about Fauvism. And it kind of has this like amorous obsession with light where kind of tricking your eye to remove your sense of, I don't want to say object permanence, but the idea that like if you go into different lights wearing a white shirt, your shirt doesn't always look white. It can mm-hmm. appear purple or green or yellow, but your brain instinctually is like, no, this is my white shirt. So it's kind of turning off that part of your brain that like trusts the past and is just purely off of observation.
Mm.
So Kandinsky is making all these like super colorful, messy landscapes, and unconfirmed, he's also a very messy, disorganized guy.
Unconfirmed, but probably.
So much so that he comes home one day, opens the door to his studio, and finds that one of his paintings had fallen upside down. And he was so jarred by the experience because he could not recognize it as his own painting, but still found it to be quite beautiful, which, quote, led him to the realization that representation wasn't necessary to make beautiful work and pushed him to invent abstraction in 1910.
So his art falls down. He's like, this looks like a fucking mess, but it is truly gorgeous.
Yeah, and then he's like, gorgeous mess.
Wait a minute. That's my truly gorgeous piece of art.
It's exactly.
Just turned on its side.
It's like whenever you like you show a mirror to a toddler and they're like, who's that beautiful baby? Like they're so interested in it. And then they have the realization, oh, that's me.
I'm the beautiful baby.
Yes. I was a beautiful baby all along.
Aww.
So that's the story. Now are you ready for the truth?
Yes. Tell us the truth.
Introducing Hilma af Klint. Born October 26, 1862, in Solna, Sweden. So she is a Solna Swedish Scorpio.
Ooh, excellent.
And gaze upon her and her shoulders.
She's pretty cute.
She's adorable. She's got great brows.
Yeah.
Pretty solid jawline. So our girl Hilma grows up quite normal. But at the age of 18, her sister Hermina passes away. And this sends her down a rabbit hole searching for answers.
Love that.
In 1882... What's the rabbit hole of the day? If you're going to go down any of them, besides fascism? Spiritualism!
Yay!
Ghosts!
The other ism.
Mediumship. Helena Blavatsky. The Fox sisters have been around for decades. The Society of Psychical Research is literally founded this year.
That's awesome.
Hilma throws herself into reading about theosophy, the works of Christian Rosicrucian, who's the guy that like started the Rosicrucians.
Oh,
and Rudolf Steiner, who she was able to see on tour in Stockholm, which inspires her, along with her squad, which art history calls the Five.
Oh, the Fab Five.
Exactly. Except no Rolling Stones article. To begin research into automatic writing. And these automatic writings lead her to begin performing seances with the Five, during which she contacted high masters in the astral realm. And she produces her first series of abstract paintings in 1906.
Mm-hmm.
So if you scroll down, you can see some of these. And when you look at them, I want you to consider that literally no one had ever done this before. Hilma had never seen anything like this. No one had seen anything like this. And Hilma didn't even consider them her paintings. She felt like they were divine messages from beings in another realm imparted to her. She viewed this process as like very scientific.
Oh, I love that. She's like, I'm using a scientist's mind to figure out what the fuck this is right now.
Like it's data. It's data messages.
It's all little zeros and ones.
From the universe. Common imagery in her early work is a lot of organic, almost floral imagery, orbs, things that seem like they may be eyeballs, pastels, rainbows, what might be portals or what almost read like poles. Like if you're looking at this in a celestial way, it could be like orbits or magnetic poles around like a celestial body. And these fuckers are huge. They are giant. Look at these people compared to them.
Yeah, they're easily like, I don't know, over 10 feet? 10 feet?
Yeah,
I don't know.
To 10 feet at least.
Yeah. Gorgeous though.
Other Hilma af Klint pieces you might be familiar with are her pyramid series, which are again like mediumed from a astral creature or entity, and then the kissing swan paintings, which are very big on Tumblr in our era.
Oh yes, I remember the birds kissing.
I want you to recall that Kandinsky made his first abstract painting in 1910, and Hilma af Klint made her first abstract series in 1906.
Shit.
Almost half a decade earlier. So why wasn't she recognized as the creator of abstraction in her time?
Well, let me tell you something called, starts my PowerPoint, the patriarchy. And next slide, misogyny. Something like that?
Yeah. It's okay, crazy. Great. So like the words are like...
Oh, misogyny got really big and then it got really small because it was too intimidating for us.
So I really want there to be a big conspiracy here. I want the story that Kandinsky knew Klint and he saw her work in her studio or through a window like a little peeping Tom, but there's no evidence at this time that they knew one another at all. And there's a couple reasons Klint wasn't recognized until now. First off, Klint didn't view her abstract work as art. As much as she viewed it as psychical research. So she wasn't showing it.
She's a scientist.
Not an
artist.
In 1915, Kandinsky and Klint actually exhibited in the same show, but Clint submitted a very traditional landscape piece. Clearly, she saw the two bodies of work very differently.
Huh. Interesting.
Additionally, Clint was a woman who had very few connections in the art world. She has the five, and she's able to go to art school. But if art dealers today can say, well, you shouldn't buy from a woman because she'll probably have a kid, it's a bad investment. Like, imagine what they're like back then in the 1860s.
Mm-hmm.
And while Kandinsky was also influenced by the Theosophical Society and spiritualism, he wasn't overt about it in the same way that Clint was like, these are messages from astral masters in the astral realm, right? Like, the public may have loved going to see a psychic medium out of some sort of like fringe fascination, but it didn't really have like the big boy serious energy of the art world. So why is this news? This old beef that Alicia and I, again, merch, old beef, TM, TM. Well, baby witches, the past 12 months have been the year of Hilma off Klimt, and I want to make sure that we are on this spaceship to the God realm. Okay, get in.
Yes, strap in.
So last year, the Tate Modern put on a show of Hilma's work alongside Modrian, who's like the guy that does the blue, yellow, and red squares.
Oh, yes, the classic.
In an exhibit called Forms of Life, and the public went goddamn bananas. Clint had been around, but this show really seemed to like blow her up because it so beautifully coincided with the Swedish film Hilma, which is about her life.
That was done on purpose then. That's called marketing.
That's called having a really good Google calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And Witch Talk has gotten a hold of her. So Instagram and TikTok have been covered in Hilma off Klimt for the past month or so. And I'm not sure what it means. If you listen to our podcast episode for next week, I'm sort of curious if other artists might make an appearance in the Witch Talk realm. We shall see.
Ooh, that's exciting. Art history brought back to life, baby. All right, and next, we're going story, story, story. You fucking ready? Witches, meaning those who actually identify as being witches, you know, like us, is on the rise. We're on the rise, you guys.
Going straight to the top.
So the results are in, and witchcraft and just generalized, organized religion apathy leads in the United States. We won. We did it. As of 2024, there is an estimated 1.5 million people who identify as witches in the U.S. 800,000 of those identify as Wiccan. So that other 700,000 includes pagans, druids, and your cute yet nonconformist kind of witches with like big titties and lots of attitude. Who could that be?
We got toot in spades over here, dude.
Mm-hmm. And as of January 2024, NPR released an article about how religious nuns, that's N-O-N-E-S, not your Catholic nun with black habit, religious nuns are now the largest group in the U.S.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. A Pew survey found that 28% of people are religious nuns, which include atheist, agnostic, and a category that called their religion nothing in particular. I know. Very silly. And then 23% of people in the U.S. identify as Catholic, and 24% identify as Protestant. Okay, so what's our little percentage number? Because we know we're not 28. We know we're not 24. Where are we at
these days? I don't know if we're even one.
Oh my gosh. So it looks like, because that was the question I had, and I did some research, and it just looks like there hasn't been a new poll done since 2014 that focused on pagans and Wiccans and new age witchcraft. So that's like 10 years ago. But at that time, the whole pagan witchcraft was 0.4% of the population, which we do know that there was a huge movement with witchcraft following the Trump administration and the pandemic. So I'm sure that number has risen. I mean, maybe we're at 1%. So finally we can be the 1% of something. That's my dream. I don't know.
I wanted to be the rich one.
But whether we make it to 1% or not, there is a subsect of witchcraft that has been exponentially gaining traction, and that is the Latino witches with brujería. These past 20 years, brujería has really flourished. For anyone just joining us, brujería is a mix of African and American indigenous practices infused with a little bit of Catholic traditions. And by delving into this practice, more Latinos are using brujería to connect to their roots and their ancestors to access the courage to move forward in their lives. Brujería has also helped people come to terms with the social structures that are in our world that don't really seem to work for them and don't seem to really be working for other people. For example, some Gen Z have been using brujería to become more vocal about their need for a work-life balance and to openly discuss mental health, which we love. That's great. Social media has, of course, helped the spread of brujería, but of course, as your friendly neighborhood witches, mom witches, are we witch moms yet? We've been around for a while.
I still feel like
a baby.
I'm baby.
I'm baby, and I'll always be baby.
I know. I feel like more like an auntie.
An auntie?
I feel like an auntie.
Okay. So as your friendly neighborhood witch aunties, we must remind you that not everything you see on social media is real, and just be wary, since some of these practitioners may not actually have experience working with brujería or an accurate understanding of the traditions. Always do your homework, cutie pies.
See season one.
In the archives. Speaking of cutie pie little witches, welcome to Studio Ghibli Park and its Valley of Witches.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
So we're going to fucking leave the U.S. and hop on over to Japan, because this past Saturday on March 16th, Ghibli Park has finally opened its last remaining attraction, which is the Valley of Witches. This park, inspired by the creations of Hayao Miyazaki, will immerse you in the world of the Studio Ghibli animated films. It's gonna be so fucking cute.
You're gonna love it.
The park is inspired by the films My Neighbor Totoro and Spirited Away. And the new Valley of the Witches features attractions from Kiki's Delivery Service. I know that you guys perked up for that one. And Howl's Moving Castle. With Gigi the little cat. Meow, meow. You'll be able to do a walkthrough of Howl's Moving Castle, ride a witchy carousel, and even buy bread at Kiki's Bakery.
Shut up.
So fucking cute. I love it. Although it's technically called a theme park, the Ghibli Park is not to be mistaken with a modern-day theme park. Miyazaki himself mandated that the experience offered at Ghibli Park should evoke being in a Ghibli movie without disturbing the natural surroundings. So there's no like real roller coasters or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Nothing like chaotic and bad for the environment. It's just an immersive experience. So it's more of a throwback to nostalgic attractions and walkthroughs with like a little carnival kind of flair. But it sounds like so much fun and absolutely fucking adorable. And I want to go.
Can we go?
Can we go? Please.
Can we go already? Well, please. Okay, wait.
Yeah.
So a flight from LA to Japan, that's like a 12-hour.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like 5 hours. 5 to 6 hours for me to get to you. So if we went, I think we would have to do like a popover in Hawaii for a couple of days, just like get acclimated.
Just to like take a break.
Yeah, like, you know, break up the travel.
There's some like time zone changes, you know, like stop in Hawaii, get used to the time zone there.
We go back in time, right? Or do we go forward in time? I always forget.
I think we go forward and wait. Back in Hawaii is 3 hours behind LA. So what does that mean? Are we going back in time?
But I wonder, because I feel like whenever I FaceTime Nisha, it's the day after me. So I think when you go over the international dateline, it's like we're actually recording on Tuesday.
Oh my gosh.
It's like Tuesday for them. That's stupid.
That's crazy. It makes no sense. All right, and now, since we've been talking about the amazing and uplifting things that have happened in our witchy communities, we must temper it as a good news podcast that witchcraft and being called a witch is not the same in other places in the world. Sometimes it is a very bad thing. If you are new to witches in the news, buckle up, dude. Here's a rundown of some of the sadder stories that we have encountered this past year for those who were accused of being witches. In the West African country, Guinea-Bissau, 29 women, all over the age of 50, were accused of witchcraft after two children died in their region. An animist priest, it mentioned animist specifically, which is very interesting since we've talked about animism before.
Yeah, weird.
But an animist priest forced all 29 women to drink poison. 8 women died and 21 were hospitalized. And that happened in February of this year.
Oh my God.
And then in the Democratic Republic of Congo, 2 women who were 60 and 65 years old were accused of causing the deaths of several people in their village. These 2 women were captured and publicly stoned.
God.
Afterwards, the village burned their bodies. And it was said that the police and army could not intervene in time to save these 2 women. And this happened in March of this year. So this month that happened. So even though for us listening to the podcast, for being a witch, probably in the community where you're an audience of this podcast, being a witch is such a great thing and it can really empower you and have you lifted up and provide you with community and just solace for whatever's going on in your life, it doesn't mean that being called a witch in another place is a safe thing.
No.
It could be still a very dangerous word to be called a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought it was very important for witches in the news to kind of have a little bit of both, a little bit of the good and a little bit of the bad, just to bring us back home, humanize us a little bit. You know the power of the word going forward in your own lives and like all the almost like trauma and horrific things that are still associated with it.
Yeah, like we feel like so much time has passed, but things really haven't changed.
Yeah, in a lot of places.
That word is not in a position to be reclaimed because it is not something you want attached to you in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of privilege being in the West that we are able to identify that and find so much power in it. And it's important that we all know that and recognize that.
Exactly. So, as we said, there's still so much bad in this world for those who are accused of witchcraft. But Tara is going to tell us a story where a little bit of good has come out of someone's really sad story.
Yes, yes. Okay, so let's just cap off this sandwich. Let me give you a little bit of sweet sourdough
mm-hmm.
to put this little sandwich together. For this story, the names have all been changed to protect the innocent because they are still at risk of violence. Because again, there are places that are not safe. 12 years ago, at the age of 3, Madhumita Singh was given to her grandparents, who placed her in a child care institute in Baripada, India. Okay, so she's 3. She's given to her grandparents, and they basically put her in an orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
She has no idea who her parents were, but what she does remember from her time with her biological family was that it was not a happy place. She remembers her mom fondly, but everything else was violence. She was neglected, often not given enough food, and told over and over again that her mother was a witch. Who was this woman? What did she do? And would she ever be seen again? Little did Madhumita know, her mother was looking for answers too. In 2012, Madhumita's mother was forced to flee their village in Odisha, India, after the untimely death of her husband. At the age of 25, her final act before disappearing was to make sure that her daughter was taken care of, and her in-laws agreed to take in the child. Madhumita's mother found refuge in an ashram in Mayurbhanj, a northern part of Odisha, and later traveled south to Puducherry, all this time trying to contact her in-laws regarding the daughter she left behind. And some of you might be thinking, why doesn't she just go get her daughter? Why don't she just walk down there, knock on her in-laws' doors and say,
demand it, yeah.
Where is she? But it's possible Madhumita's mother may have faced the very real threat of violence and even death if she returned to her village. And by the time they were able to reunite, she wasn't even in Odisha because neighbors and Madhumita's grandparents had called the authorities over how abusive they were being to a little girl.
Oh, that's so sad.
In January of this year, Madhumita was safe in a CCI, again, child care institute, when authorities received a call from a mother searching for her daughter. Marumita's mother had been calling shelters and orphanages for years, hoping to find a child who matched the description of her daughter, who she had not seen in over a decade. Over 100 kilometers away, her mother was back in Marubanj as soon as possible for a tearful reunion. Upon embracing one another, Marumita said, "I've got everything in the world after finding my mother. I've got all the happiness of my life."
Oh, that is so cute. That gave me like goosebumps.
It is so important to remember that not all stories end happily, but a human's capacity to love one another and feel connected to one another, like that's what's going to get us through this. Love, yeah. Humility, understanding, respect, and drive.
Absolutely. What a happy story. So many of these stories are not happy ones. My heart is warmed that they were able to be reconnected and that her mother was even still alive after having an accusation of being a witch.
Oh my God, right?
It's wild. And that has been Witches in the News. First quarter, baby.
Baby, I am so glad that you brought this up. I think Witches in the News, while it was hard and continues to be hard, it really places us in the now, and that, like, you know, we're not just like people on the internet looking at the past hoping for answers to give us our lives meaning in the present, but that we are like currently a part of a community and part of a story. Yeah, we are history in the making.
Absolutely. And we will continue to be so. And we're gonna keep recording different Witches in the News stories and hopefully have another episode later this year. Got to keep us updated with what's going on in the world.
Things are happening.
And as always, we would like to thank Marcel Perez, our producer, Mallory Jordan, our creative director, and Kevin McLeod for that cute little music we use at the front and tail end of this episode.
In the front, in the back, up top, in the snatch.
Ooh, it's Kevin McLeod. In the snatch, yes. Thank you for providing the music in the snatch of this episode.
I'd also really like to snatch and thank everyone who's written an Apple Podcast review or subscribed to any of our channels, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. Head over to Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars. Please write something. I need you to write something. Write something.
If you want to find me, Alicia, I'm on Instagram at Alicia.Herder. If they want to find you, Tara, and the super secret postcard club, where do we go?
You go to Her Lovely Face on Instagram. That's my art Instagram.
I love that. And you can just sign up right there?
Yeah. So what you'll do is you'll, like, I have a link in my bio and you'll go there on Patreon. Again, it's another $5. And every month you get a little mini print. It's a random mini print. I get to decide. It's like a little surprise. And it also functions as a postcard because it has a little spot to put a name, address, and a little stamp.
So cute.
So you can send them wherever you want. Or you can keep them.
I love that. We, the podcast, are on Instagram at WitchYes. Share an episode in your stories, tag us, and we'll feature you on our stories. We also have a very lively Discord server. If you want to be part of a witchy community, you can just hop on over to that. There's a link in our show notes of this episode. And if you hate social media, we get it. We understand. We're slaves to it. But you can always email us at witchyespodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to be like Amelia and Alicia, the twin, you can find us on Patreon. $5 Patreon Witches and Above are getting access to 2 extra episodes a month with a backlog of over 100.
Crazy.
It's a little too much.
It's an archive. It's a library. It's a witchy library.
Exactly. It's an astral library, but lives in the cloud. You get access to early stuff. You know what the new episodes are going to be about. You get to ask questions and look out for goodies coming your way.
Amazing. And spring is here, and I'm so excited for it.
Ah, it's going to be the best.
It's going to be amazing.
And I guess that means this has been Witch
Yes.
Bye.
Go outside.
Get some sun.
You need it, girl. You need it.
Damn, bitch. You live like this?
Get yourself a tan.
See? That wasn't so bad. Maybe it was. I don't know. It sucks. When you try so hard and you got so far, and in the end, it doesn't even matter. Thanks again for listening. And again, I apologize for my end of the audio quality. I hope it wasn't too terrible. And happy spring.
See you next time.